Hey, Chicks in the Office listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
What's up, everyone? It's Chicks in the Office with Rhea and Fran, giving you that Friday energy on a Wednesday. It is a Bachelor recap day. Unfortunately, we do not have Trent with us. No, he is not flying across the country, across the world to Vienna to pull luggage. Again, he's doing a golf thing. He has other priorities. But we are ready to talk about this week's episode, as well as the deleted scene that has now been released for the world to see of Trent pulling the luggage. What could have been?
Yeah, I can't believe that I can't believe just the timing of this is the Bachelor Twitter account tweeted the video of Trent's luggage pull like a half hour ago. Where he's not here. He's golfing. They're doing the foreplay. They're playing against Max Homa. So he is unavailable to talk to us about this moment, but I'm sure we will get thoughts from him next week. So let's jump right into it and just discuss this clip first before we talk about the episode. But first,
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So like we all knew, Trent told us last week that his luggage pull, he was informed, was going to be cut, that he would still have an Easter egg moment, which he did. It was a major blink and you miss it moments compared to what they cut. It's just like there was no middle. It was either a minute and a half, very long, like clip of him dramatic exit, or like a split second of him drinking a beer, like standing behind the group of women in Vienna. But he pulled Genevieve's luggage. It was very, they really did build this moment for him, which I have to say, like, I am so pissed that they cut it, but I also kind of appreciate that they really teed this up for him good. Like, they had him knocking on the door. They had Genevieve being like, can you take my bags? it was a whole thing that I don't understand why they would go through that length of putting together that moment just to not put it in the episode.
I think when people watch the deleted scene standing alone, they're like, yes, this comes across very comedic, comes across as a skit, a parody of some sort, right? But I think if they just played it in the episode, it would play. Like, I think it would just work out. I think it would be like, okay, Genevieve's going home. People don't take half this shit on the show seriously anyway. It's not like we're always like, oh my God, this is so sad. Like, we've laughed at Cleeton saying he's broken on the teaser week after week now. Like, I think that this scene would have played perfectly. They could have cut like 50 seconds out of it and it still would have been a minute long. They didn't need the whole thing, but it could have been quick cuts of him opening up the door, her saying, can you help me with my luggage? He takes it down the stairs, send her off on her way, wave goodbye. Like,
yeah,
they definitely could have cut it down. I love that they released the extended version online so we could see the whole thing. But the fact that not even any of that was put in is just bullshit. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's so ridiculous to film this entire thing with this man who everybody loves on Twitter, right? Everyone's like, luggage guy Trent, luggage guy Trent. It causes a huge commotion. Even right now with this clip being tweeted out, everyone's like, oh my God, this clip is amazing. Yeah. They have to be kicking themselves being like, oh, we could have had the most viral clip of the night last night and we just chose to put in a standalone shot of him, which was still probably the most viral clip of the night, with him just standing there drinking a beer.
Yeah.
But useless. He flew to Vienna. We now could say he flew to Vienna for this. And I stand with Trent. That's really all I could say. I think it's stupid. Yeah. I think it's really stupid that they did that.
There was there were some very funny tweets last night of people being like, wow, they're going to Vienna. I had no idea. It was never mentioned before. But yeah, no, I'm very confused why. Like, yes, I do like that we got to see like the full extended version of the luggage pull, but I guess, I don't know. I guess the setup of it, the way it fit in the episode with Clayton putting her in the car and then her driving off, it would have been like a whole extra moment of her leaving instead of just having the end of Genevieve be like right at the end of
they could have
Clayton
cut down
sending her home.
We had long one-on-one dates, really long one-on-one dates that they could have cut down at least one.
Serene's one-on-one date was like 6 minutes long.
Okay. Then they could have cut down the other ones a little bit. Yeah. Susie's could have been cut down.
Yeah.
I mean, anything could have been cut down from this episode.
There is a shit ton that bizarre. Like, and I also think it did not help that a shit ton happened in this episode, just as far as like we started with 8 girls and ended with 4. Like a lot happened, or I started with 9 girls, I think. Yeah, started with 9 girls. Yeah, when the episode started and ended with 4. So a lot did happen, but to not even just like it could have been 10 seconds of him just walking down the hallway with her bags. That's it. It would have been perfect. But anyway, clearly that's, you know, they didn't feel the same. We'll get Trent's thoughts on it next week, but it's a lot to fly to Vienna to not have that moment.
It is
not have that moment put in.
They have to be thinking to themselves, or they're trying to convince themselves they made the right move. Like they're sitting in a room right now. They're like, guys, don't worry. It's going to be okay. We made the right move. You know, it didn't fit. It didn't fit into the show. Meanwhile, on the inside, they're like, fuck. We should have just put that in. The fact that they said it put or it whatever, who knows why they cut it, but I think it would have fit just fine. It wasn't this dramatic exit from Genevieve that then Trent comes in and makes it funny. They just didn't have a great connection.
Yeah, like their connection between them was not strong at all. And the way she left was really not dramatic. She barely cried. It was fairly mutual. Like really just seemed like Genevieve in the car. I mean, we can talk about this when we get to it as well. But it's just, it really did not feel like it was this big emotional exit that couldn't have had a little laugh thrown in there.
I still think it would have been a perfect like post-credit, like, you know how they do that thing?
Yeah, the fact that they don't have that be a post credit. Yeah. The post credit was Susie and Clayton dancing in there in like Lederhosen. Like you could have just made that be
like
Trent.
Just Trent walking down like the credits are going
totally. Like, that would have been so much better. I don't know why they wouldn't even do that.
Just to use it on TV in any sort of aspect.
Yeah, I know. Well,
we want
this
Trent's
is the thing, right?
His flights, ABC. We want compensation. And that's not coming from Trent. That's coming from his backups.
Yeah, it's coming from his security guards.
I'll be knocking down their door for however much that was.
Because I also think they try and get, which they do, try and get best of both worlds, right? They get him there. They film it. They get the whole episode. And then they still can try and get like the digital moment by
they could have had both. They could have had it on TV and also the digital moment.
No, I know, but I'm saying maybe for some reason they didn't want to put Trent on TV.
Mm. Well, that's stupid.
I know.
I think it's stupid.
So, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
No, it really doesn't. So justice for Trent. Maybe he'll get another shot. I don't know. Should he give them another shot?
We
joked about. Well, look, we have to be nice to him about it because we may have our feelings, but when it comes down to it, Trent loves being the luggage guy.
I know,
he really does.
He seemed pretty like Right, last week he was like, it might be over.
No, absolutely. But I'd be shocked if another opportunity came up that maybe it was more reasonable. He didn't have to go so far. Yeah. You know, things are paid for. Whatever. You know,
I'm sure he has like trust issues.
Yeah,
now.
Maybe he'll negotiate a little bit more now. But I don't know if the opportunity presented
itself.
It's
like, fool me once, shame on you.
No, I know, but it's
I tweeted out something that I don't know if Trent's gonna even like, but.
You just like just now.
I tweeted out, someone find out how many viewers last night's episode of The Bachelor had, and let's make sure this clip gets more.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's always bound to happen.
It's already up to 115,000. I don't know.
If they had tweeted this like last night during the show, it would have gone off more, like not the day after, like middle of the day.
Right. Towards like the end of the episode.
Yeah, just anytime. Even if it was just social last night, like people are still watching.
I don't know if the Bachelor ratings are like TV ratings don't make any sense anymore.
I see. Ivan just tweeted justice for Trent.
Yeah. like, I don't know how to find out. Like,
it's all like, yeah. It's,
the numbers are weird. Compare. And then you can't like compare because then it's like how many people watch it on how many people like record it or stream it. Because then that's like when you stream it on Hulu the next day, I feel like that's a massive number. All right. Let's get into the episode. Justice for Trent. We'll talk to him about it next week. See how he feels once he has some time to let it really settle in. So, okay. This episode did start off still in Croatia, technically, because it left off right after the Sarah situation. Sarah and Mara did have a moment. You know, Sarah came back from her one-on-one date with the rose, and there was sass all around. Sass from all parties. Mara's given sass face. Sarah's given sass attitude. It just went back and forth.
Like, obviously, Sarah had an attitude, too. But yeah. Mara was just being so obnoxious. She was like, you need to, like, step back a little bit. There's a difference between having some humble confidence and being too confident. And you're just, like, stepping over the line. And it's like, you can't, like, Mara, maybe you need some more confidence.
Yeah.
And I think that Sarah was being annoying, too. Like, I don't really like either of them. But I think... you're telling the girl she has too much confidence when she's just trying to say that she's there for the right reasons.
Yeah.
It was a weird dynamic. I think that Mara was also in her head about being older than Sarah. Like, I think she was projecting that as well, which is probably her own insecurity. But then I think Sarah also just is like, you don't want to get engaged. So why don't we just cut the act and go home?
I think Sarah's attitude, there was definitely confidence there, but I thought it was more telling. Like, clearly Mara was very annoyed by Sarah. Like, that's obvious. And it would be much easier to just like dismiss everything that Mara thought about her if it was just between the two of them. But when the rest of the girls all kind of agreed that Sarah was perhaps using some tactics to make the girls feel like, you know, less than, and that her relationship with Clayton was the strongest, like that I could kind of see and understand. And maybe she was. Look, the way Sarah finished that conversation with, and Clayton told me, you know, that this was whoever did say it was a last ditch effort before they get sent home. So, you know, she tried to be like, fuck off. Like, Clayton told me I have a relationship with Clayton where he told me you're going to go home, you know? So it definitely went back and forth. And I did not like Sarah's comment about the Jersey Turnpike. She said she told Mara to head back on a middle seat, drinking cheap wine back to the Jersey Turnpike. That was rude.
That is rude. We love the Jersey Turnpike.
Fucking love the Jersey Turnpike.
We love the Jersey Turnpike, the road, and we also like to do the Jersey Turnpike at the club.
You can't get to the Jersey Shore without taking a little ride on the Turnpike.
You're right. And where would we be without
the
Jersey Shore?
Isn't that where Tracy Morgan got in his accident?
All right, Noah.
No, I'm just saying, is it? I think it is, right?
I believe so, yes.
That's just what I think of when I hear that.
is a major highway. No, so no, no. Yeah,
besides literally, that,
literally it's the New Jersey, it's I-95, the turnpike.
The Jersey Shore changed all of our lives.
Yeah.
Straight
it,
up.
It has.
The show. Like, yeah. Come on, Sarah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I do think that there was a little bit of, you know, cockiness coming from Sarah. The delivery from Mara didn't work. Neither of them, like, it was not a shining moment really for either of them, where they did have that time, like, before the rose ceremony of, like you said, like that confrontation of, you know, honey, you're being, it's like not talking down to Sarah, like confidence versus cockiness. But Clayton had a lot of good moments. Serene, he did, he gave her like a little jar of lights that like represented little fireflies after Serene told him the story last week about her cousin passing away. And that was very sweet. Serene did say, you know, I think I'm falling in love with him. And these relationships are really growing. And then, yes, Mara, Sarah, they're all, the girls are eavesdropping. It's a whole big thing. And then they go to the rose ceremony where it is Mara and Eliza who get sent home. Eliza, I don't have too many thoughts. I hope we get to see Eliza on Paradise because I feel like we didn't really get to know her at all this season. And she seems like a cool girl, but that's like, you didn't get any dates with her. Is Mike getting a snack or?
Yeah, Branson, is Mike getting a snack or what?
Yeah, he's getting I hear some crinkling.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. Running out of frame. But yeah, I mean, I bet you Mara will see again too, but Eliza, like we got, she maybe spoke three words the entire season.
Yeah. I feel like there was a lot of people, honestly. And even in this episode, I was like, wait a second, we're down to four by the end of it. I was like, oh, the season has flown by. I feel like we've only gotten to know the four girls basically that are left at the end.
Yeah, Eliza didn't even get like a exit interview. There wasn't even like a moment of her being like, my time's come to an end. Like, it was just, she was just gone.
And kind of crazy she made it that far.
Exactly. So clearly there was some kind of connection there and we just really didn't see any of it at all. So that's the end for Mara and for Eliza. So that left us with Susie, Serene, Gabby, Genevieve, Teddy, Sarah, and Rachel. And then the ladies are told that they are headed to Vienna, Austria. Shocking.
Wow. Shocking.
Wow. Vienna.
Never before seen, never before heard by anyone on this podcast.
Yes. We've never once mentioned Vienna on the show or Cutting Stems. All right. So let's start with Susie's date in that moment. But first.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
So Susie gets the first one-on-one date in Austria, and we're here. We get the moment. There's always one of like the pretty woman date where they get to go to the store, I don't know, shops, like they went to go see some Austrian designer, her showroom, and all these beautiful, beautiful dresses, and they got to dress up and take all these pictures. And then of course she goes back to the hotel with like 15 shopping bags looped on her arms just to walk into the room and be like, hello ladies.
How does she get all of this stuff home to her house, her real house?
Right.
Does she get to keep this stuff? They have to ship it to her, no?
I think, yeah. I mean, I do think they get to keep the stuff. Like, I think there is always one date where the woman actually does get to keep it. And she, it's interesting because we didn't really fully see all the shopping. So it was like, some of those bags might've even been empty, like for dramatic reasons.
Right. Right. Well, hey, Susie, walk in with all of these bags to make all of those girls jealous. And really she just has like one bag of some pretty cool stuff.
Now she did have a pair of Louboutins. We did see that. Like she did have the the red bottoms she flashed to the group while they were all like, oh, they're freaking out. Everybody's so jealous. This is it is the best. I always do love it when the girls are as honest as possible in this situation. And it's not like they don't like put a smile on and they're like, oh, we're so happy for you. Like, congrats. Like, Gabby was so straight faced. It was just like, I'm so jealous. It's like, you know what, Gabby, respect, because I would have felt the same way. You can't hide that.
Right. You just have to be honest and say, yeah, I'm pretty jealous that you got red bottoms and I haven't even gotten a date yet. Like, anybody would be in that scenario.
Yeah, exactly. So the dress, she tries on this beautiful red dress and it's brought to the hotel room as she's in the other room. The guy carries it in. Everybody gets, it's not wrapped or anything. So all the girls get to see how stunning the dress is. And I thought to myself that, like, I know that they didn't know what exactly they were going to film with Trent. That job would have also been so perfect. Like, if they were just looking for an Easter egg moment, they should have just had Trent be the guy who carried in the dress and dropped it off and then walked out.
Right. At least he's carrying something. The problem I had about Trent's cameo was the fact that Trent doesn't even like to drink.
Yeah.
And so
right.
they
Trent
had this man,
really drink beer.
This man, all he likes to do is pull luggage. He just loves luggage.
Yeah.
And yet they had him drinking a beer. That's not real Trent. That's fake Trent. That's not authentic Trent. And that's what hurt the most.
Yeah. And so I was like, that would have been even that would have been such a good little Easter egg moment if they couldn't do the luggage pull. But Susie looks fucking gorgeous. She looks so amazing.
Like so many people at once.
I know. She gets into this old school car. She's sitting in the back seat. It was very, it felt like a Christmas Prince, like it felt like a Netflix rom-com Christmas movie, like the red dress.
Why, out of all movies, did you just pick the Christmas Prince?
Because Vienna, like, it's like, it just has Vienna. It felt like she was going to meet her just like Austrian prince in the palace. And, you know, but yes, you are right. Hannah Brown actually posted a funny, like, I was laughing on her Instagram story. She was watching with her boyfriend and she was like, dang, like, I wish I had that date, but I love that red dress. So, like, and Susie looks great, so I probably look great in the red dress. It's like,
that is true.
Yeah. So, like, kind of just laughing at how everybody jokes that they look the same. I saw a ton on Twitter of people posting pictures of Colton and Hannah Brown from Colton season next to Clayton and Susie, being like, are we just living in a simulation? These are the same people.
That I never even thought of that, to put those pictures next to each other.
Yes.
Yeah, that's freaky.
It's the same.
That is freaky. It's the same. Same but different fonts.
Exactly.
But not even different fonts.
Exactly.
It's the same font on different computers.
Same font, different size. One's like size 11, one's size 12. They're very, very similar. So Clayton's waiting for her outside this beautiful palace. They go to dinner. She talks about how, like, the whole day was pretty overwhelming for her. She's never really had that, that was such an intense date with all the pampering and everything that she received. And Clayton just kind of continues to talk about how much he likes her and how wonderful she is, and he, without hesitation, gives her a rose, which confirms that she makes it to hometowns, which totally makes sense. And honestly, this feels like, I think Susie's a lock for top two.
I think so too.
I think she might win.
I think it's Susie and Rachel.
Susie and Rachel, yeah. Battle of the blondes.
Yeah, I just think they're like, he's just going to have a hard, like, which blonde does he like
right.
better?
He just seems so into both of them.
Right.
But yeah, so she gets that first rose, locks it in, and then they go to another room, and I don't know who this, like, I don't know if I am saying this guy's name, Chris DeBerg. I had to Google right away because I was like, oh my God, is this really the guy? Because he starts to sing Lady in Red. And I'm like, okay, he sounds just like the guy who sings Lady in Red. Mm-hmm. Is this the guy who sings Lady in Red? It is. The Bachelor apparently flew out this man to Vienna to sing Lady in Red for Susie's date, and really does sing the whole song. And that just kind of blew my mind.
Magical for Susie and Clayton.
What a date for Susie. The whole day, the clothes, the shopping, the dinner. She's in the red dress, and then she's got the real thing, the real Lady in Red moment happening. So it definitely seemed like a dream date, which probably makes her feel pretty comfortable going into hometowns. The final group date is Genevieve, Sarah, Teddy, Rachel, Gabby. So that means Serene is getting that other one-on-one. And for Genevieve, that kind of, in that moment, it felt like the kiss of death as soon as the date card was read, because she's really not gotten enough time with Clayton at all to be like, yeah, hometowns for sure. She went on the two-on-one with Shanae and that was it. Other than that, she's only been in group dates. So it felt like that really was not a good sign. The date card was a quote from Sigmund Freud. And boy, did they just decide to really lay into that. They had a psychoanalyst come on to the show, Dr. Catherine, and have these, you know, intimate talks, which did get very serious. So let's get into those moments. But first,
the comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So Sigmund Freud, you know, it's Vienna is his birthplace. The hometown of modern psychotherapy is what they are saying. Something about
what a boring hometown motto.
It's also just like, I understand that this is a very intense date, right? And like you get emotions and producers, you're going to get drama out of a date like this, but this certainly would not be on the top of my list for like group date ideas while in Vienna. There could have been so many other things they could have done felt more Vienna like than psychotherapy.
They wasted so much money going to Vienna, not really on Trent, but they just wasted things in general going to Vienna, right? Like the luggage pull with Trent, done.
Who knows how much they had to pay Chris de Burgh to show up, right, to sing Lady
They do a therapy session in Vienna. What was the point of going to Vienna? They could have had the therapy session back in the States. Yeah. That would have made sense. Or like, I don't know, with the final four going forward, because those are like his closest people to him. I don't really know. I just don't think, I think you're right. I think that was a terrible group date idea when you're in fucking Vienna.
Yeah.
That's like when people go on a tropical vacation and they just are like, oh, I want to like lay in my bed and watch TV. It's like, why even go?
Yeah,
on the tropical vacation.
Yeah.
What's the point?
And it does feel like the one thing that it obviously did do its job is you could see who was very comfortable and very uncomfortable with therapy. Some people are open to it. Some people are not. So for Genevieve, she was like, she was out. You know, she's like, I've never been to therapy. I don't like talking about these things. And that came across right away. It was obvious that that was going to be a problem. The way they're talking, neither of them are really opening up. And like, they're on this couch and Clayton's basically like, hey, can we talk outside? Because this is just clearly not working. And they come to realize that hometowns, it doesn't make sense for her to stay. And he sends her home and yeah, totally checks out. And Genevieve kind of said in the car, she's like, I got to work on, you know, opening up a little bit, which is fair. It's hard to do that on TV. So I understand. But compared to what the other girls were sharing the last couple of weeks, Genevieve has stayed pretty tight there. She has not really opened up about anything. So in that situation, it was like, yeah, this is this is not going to work. Like, Clayton's like, I don't want to pressure you to open up, but hometowns are next week. And if you don't open up, you're not getting hometowns. And that's what happened.
I feel like we heard Genevieve's name a lot, but nothing really happened with her.
Yeah. 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 I think that makes sense. And like, even when she was in the car, she said, I have some stuff to work on. That's for sure. So it was obvious that there is a moment. Gabby is very open. I love Gabby. I think Gabby's my favorite on the season. I think she opened up more with Dr. Catherine talking about her mom and her relationship with her parents and kind of like how that has led her to need certain things in a relationship. And I just got, I commend her for talking about those things and opening up about it. And Rachel also kind of just has, we don't see too much of Rachel's, but Rachel is pretty open with like saying, oh, I really trust him and all of these moments. But at the end of the day, like, it just feels like Rachel doesn't have to say too much. And Clayton's like, yep, love you.
I think it's kind of the same for Rachel and Susie. I think they're a lock. I think that Gabby is seems like a nice person. I think she's getting maybe a bachelorette edit. I've heard people say they want her to be the bachelorette so I feel like, I definitely feel like Susie and Rachel are the leaders of the pack.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then it goes into Sarah, and this is when things started to take a turn for Sarah, right? She's like, I love therapy. I love talking about my problems.
She was so excited.
Like, she went in being like, I'm going to fucking crush this therapy session. And she immediately kind of like immediately starts talking about therapy being a big part of her life. She uses that as a tool. She wants it to be better. And Dr. Catherine continues to ask her like these questions, right? She says, have you ever felt judged by Clayton or some of the other girls? And Sarah, the tears start to fall, and this past week's hard. Some people are insinuating that I'm not ready to get engaged. And apparently that did not work with Dr. Catherine. When the date was over, she addressed the group and she said, thank you to the ones who shared their honest emotions. And then she said, some of them were not honest. They were what is called performative. So
I don't know if she was crazy. A real therapist or
there's
there
no
to just
way.
Blow up Sarah's spot to be like, I can tell she's being performative.
I'm like, I don't know. I'd love to see
kind of rude of the therapist, to be honest, because therapists are not supposed to judge you.
And also, like, isn't that against therapist law? Like, you can't just HIPAA. Like, you can't just like walk out of the room and be like, well, that person was lying. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal is with Dr. Catherine, or if she's like a
she's
Dr.
A quack.
Catherine, like a Dr. Oz type situation, like on TV. She, you
you're
know,
saying Dr. Oz wasn't a real doctor.
No, but it's like, you're a doctor, but you say, you say shit for TV.
Yeah, that you're not supposed to be saying, probably.
Yeah, probably. So Clayton was not happy with that. I think he was very surprised. He didn't really know what that meant. And that was really the biggest part of that. I think Teddy had her talk with him as well. He had questions for all of them. The women, So she starts, I'm trying to remember because I feel like I was starting to forget things here. So Clayton says, to think that someone is putting on an act is very scary at this point of the journey. He says this to the women at the beginning of the cocktail party. So if there's anything that you all know that I'm not seeing, I would like to know. Great line from Clayton. Open the door. All these girls just want is the door to be cracked open to talk shit about the other girls for them to be like, oh yeah, okay, I'm in. You know, like as soon as Clayton gives them the A-okay, like, no, I want the information. They're like, oh, we'll give it to you.
Right. Cause some of them don't want to just openly go to him. And I think that's the right approach. Like the snitching aspect. is not always great. But if he asks, it's like, all right, well, I guess this is the open door now to talk about it. And it seemed like a lot of people felt the same way about Sarah.
For sure. And I, once again, Rachel, I think he really, he believes Rachel. He likes Rachel. So Rachel tells him about how when Sarah came home from her from her first one-on-one date, that she maybe was sharing too many details. Like she was oversharing to like really make it look like their connection was super strong. Rachel said that Sarah told her and Teddy all the details of the whole day, and just like saying we have this connection and that you guys were crying together. And then Rachel said, me and Teddy were like, I don't know how we're ever going to get there with him. You know, so Sarah was basically going in on this date, talking about how amazing their connection was, placing little bits of doubt in the rest of the women. And so Clayton was like, she said I cried. So he got upset about that. He was like, there's no truth to that. Now Rachel is getting very emotional, talking about how Sarah's manipulating the other women. Gabby also kind of doubles down on that as well, that this has been something that's been going on for weeks and no one's really brought it up, obviously, except Mara. Teddy kind of says the same thing. And so Clayton calls Sarah in for this conversation where, like clockwork, she bursts into tears. Like, and then it's like, not even a burst into tears. It's like the emotion. And then Clayton was like, I don't believe you. You're fake crying right now. She's like, that was my favorite line of the episode. She's like, I have no tears left to cry. I was like, okay, really?
Yeah. Every time she cries, and obviously you can't help that. You can't help her crying. But every time she cries, it just makes her seem guilty of things. It's like she's cracking too quickly. And obviously it didn't really work out for her.
Yeah, it was just like a little bit too much of wah, poor me kind of vibes. You know, she's like, I do so much for the other girls. I listen to them when they're sad, when they're happy. But when it's me, like, I can't feel anything. And at the end of the day, Clayton was like, I just don't believe you. Like, you're telling me these things and I do not believe you.
I mean, fair on Clayton.
Yeah, he goes, I really feel like you were trying to fake cry to me. It didn't feel genuine at all. And I think we're done. And that was it.
Off she went.
Yep. Off she went. And so that's the end for Sarah. But because all of the emotions were high there, no one got that group date rose. So there was one on the table and it could have gone to Rachel, Teddy, or Gabby. And he did not give it to any of them. He just said he wanted to make the right decision. So he did not give out a rose there. And then it was time for Serene's one-on-one date. But first...
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler. And we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
Serene and Clayton have a beautiful carriage ride through the streets of Vienna. They stop and they do a little waltz with cute old people, just random old people in the streets. And it was beautiful. I mean, the scenery is stunning. They're in Vienna. It's beautiful. Like just the architecture and everything. It feels very, very, very romantic. And they did have this date at the Belvedere Palace. She's also in a red dress. I almost thought they were going to bring out what's his face again. They're like, we paid him. Let's have him sing right? Lady in Red again.
why not? They're wasting enough in Vienna. Why not just use him again?
Exactly. So the whole date, like I said, it felt like it went really fast because at this point it was like 9:40 ish. and we still hadn't gotten to the rose ceremony. So it was like, okay, this is going to be a pretty quick one-on-one. And it was. They talked about meeting each other's parents, that they're really excited. Serene says that she is falling in love with him, and he is absolutely ecstatic. She gets a rose, and they kiss in front of the famous painting, The Kiss. So that was, you know, very romantic, I guess. It's like another one where it's like, I don't really know how many people are going to be like, oh, okay, sure. We all know what that painting is. But then it's time for the final rose ceremony. This whole last bit did feel a little rushed. It is funny because now with the whole, I was intimate with the both of you, that without a doubt to me is post Fantasy Suites, because
which is bullshit. I mean,
I know.
They get us every time.
I know.
They tease this show, something never before seen, blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, Oh, he just had sex with both people in the Fantasy Suite, like most people do every single season. What was different? We thought he was going to bang someone in the middle of the season.
I know. I put my money on that happening Fantasy Suites. If it happens during the hometowns, Clayton, new dog, if you're making that happen while you're in all these various locations. But yeah, I'm thinking it's Fantasy Suites, and that's going to be a whole big moment. But it was just because as soon as they walked in, you could tell, one, from the dresses the girls were wearing, and two, like just the setting of where the roses were and where they were. So it's like, okay, so obviously this isn't it. And Susie, Serene, Rachel, and Gabby all got roses. So Teddy was sent home. Which was, it was surprising, but not surprising, because she did get the first impression rose. They did have a connection, but it does just feel really clear who Clayton really likes. Like, he just is not quite that good at hiding that. So it does feel like those four girls make the most sense right now. And, you understand why he says he fell in love. Like, he's like, I'm in love with three women. It's like, yeah, we know. it's blatantly obvious that you're going to be like, you're obsessed with all three of these girls, which, by the way, I think is going to be Serene, Rachel, Susie.
The teaser when he's like, I'm in love. Yeah. It's just so funny every time.
Yeah.
I think that Teddy, obviously not judging her for this, the virgin thing wasn't like that big of a storyline. I just think, unfortunately for Clayton, he's probably like, that's just not going to work for him.
Yeah.
Or the connection just wasn't as strong to make it work. I think the connection was just stronger with the other people.
And you know what's so funny to me? It really goes to show how much they do push certain drama storylines, like production wise. Sarah being 23 was such a talking point, and they made it into this whole big thing. Teddy's 24. Like, it's like, are we acting like that is such a huge gap? And we, and 23 and 24, they could be 6 months apart, you know, like, and just when they were filming,
it could be one month apart.
Yeah. We have no idea like what exactly the difference is.
23 and 25.
To make the huge argument about 23 when Teddy, the first impression rose winner, is 24. It's just like, clearly sometimes they just pick on things that they know are going to be drama for no reason. And having that between Sarah and Mara obviously makes sense. But now we're going into hometowns with these four women. It's the preview. Certainly looks emotional. We're going to have some good dad combos. And I'm excited to see Clayton's parents, because there is one good clip of Clayton's dad, it seems like, towards the end being like, son, you screwed the pooch. It's like, just got to let you know, it seems like you really fucked this whole shit up.
Yeah, I would love to know what they're talking about. But I feel like overall, I don't know how crazy it's going to be. I definitely expected more.
Yeah.
Like, I thought more was going to happen this entire season, and it didn't. After Shanae left, it was kind of like, bleh.
I know.
So who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. And of course, like, once again, Mike Fleece, the worst human being on planet Earth, had been tweeting about like a historic announcement, Bachelor, historic announcement yesterday morning. Major historic announcement regarding The Bachelor will be made during tonight's broadcast. The historic announcement was this. This season's finale of The Bachelor is totally spoiler proof. No one knows how it will end because it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't over. Like, get also, pal, that's just not true. Because I would go as far as to say Peter's season was pretty spoiler proof because we didn't know what the fuck was happening with that either.
Right. And also, you're basically spoiling it by saying that the ending is not the end.
Yeah.
So this guy, he always does shit like that.
I know. It's just, once again, it was like the stupidest tweet ever, and we'll see what happens. But I did see Peter, I think, did an interview recently where he thinks Clayton is probably single. It's like, yeah, you would say that. It's like, he's like, I'm seeing a lot of similarities here. So that we'll see what happens with hometowns. That basically wraps it up. We could close once again. Can always count on Grocery Store Joe. He just retweeted the clip of the luggage poll and just wrote, quality content should never be cut.
Grocery Store Joe always stands with us. And Amen. That's why I appreciate him.
Amen. He might be the best live tweeter in the game. I'll be honest. I laugh at all of his tweets that when he is live tweeting.
It's just a stream of consciousness.
It is. He kind of tweets like an old man, which I love.
Yeah. It's just, you know? It's not full thoughts, but they're there.
Yeah, exactly. He had a very funny tweet about Sigmund Freud. Like, he posted a picture of Sigmund Freud being like a quote, and it said, in 80 years, they'll be talking about me on The Bachelor and my life's work will finally be complete.
Good stuff.
Oh, good stuff, Joe. Good stuff. But I think that wraps it up. We will have Trent back next week where we can really dive into some more details here.